Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you've given us another day. Lord, as Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so today, Lord, that we're living, it's for Christ. And Lord, may you come and use the words that are going to be spoke for your glory, Lord, and let only your words be spoke. And Father, bless us and be among us now. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And be seated. As I was listening in there, I was thinking about that story that Brother Brown used to tell about the man that would go hunting with his with a preacher or his pastor. I can't remember which one it was. But the preacher kept trying to get him to come to church, and he would come to church sometime, but he would never give his heart to the Lord. And they kept on hunting for years. And he said one day he stopped and turned around to the preacher, and he said, "I'm coming down there this Sunday to give my heart to the Lord." And the preacher said, "Well, what sermon was it that I preached that made you do that?" And he said, "You preached some mighty fine sermons, Parson." So it must have been his pastor. He said, "When I realized that I can't shoot nothing and I can't see nothing, and yet every time I go hunting, I come home with something." So he realized what God was doing for him.
Amen.
He realized that God was interpreting himself in him. That God has turned his mind. As Brother Brandon said, he was mindful of us.
Yes, sir.
That he turned his mind to him.
Amen.
So when I thought about that, it's very humbling, you know, that every last one of us walks alone as individuals with God.
Amen.
No matter how much the preacher preaches, if God don't show you what's being preached and show you that in your life and open that to you,
amen,
you're just a walking dictionary full of the message dictionary. That's all you are.
Amen.
Until we know God ourselves, until he begins to interpret himself in our life. And sometimes he'll interpret himself in our life long, long before we ever recognize it.
Amen.
Remember Brother Bram said that about the person that stumbled out of one church and stumbled into another church? Long before they recognized what God was doing, they didn't know that. And so every Christian's walk is different, but it's the same in some ways. And so I wanted us to go. We've been on this subject of oneness, and so I wanted to continue this. And I've been reading this quote just about every service, and I'm going to read it again, and I may read it for as long as I preach on oneness, because I think Brother Branham said, and we were talking about this last time, that I think sometimes we're not sufficiently impressed with the word that God's given us. And so I think sometimes, why are we not sufficiently impressed with what he's given us? And so let's read these words. And if we're not impressed with them, let's pray that God impress them upon us. This is in the Harvest Time, paragraph 87. And y'all have to excuse my crying, I can't help that. Brother Bram says, "Jesus said that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something. It never will work." Now, is he preaching against preachers and pastors? No. He'll make it clear what he's saying. It never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other. One man wants to take over the other. But what, that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. Now you think about that. He didn't leave there's no gray area there. He's telling you exactly how you can be one with God. exactly like Jesus and God was one. That ought to really impress us right there. If it don't, we need to find our knees somewhere and think about that one for a while. Like Christ and God was one, that's what the prayer is. That he was the Word, and Jesus prayed that we might be the Word reflecting him. That's his prayer to be answered. And so that's Jesus asked that. And he said he never asked anything or done anything unless his Father first showed him. So this must be God's will, that he would be one with each one of his people, like he was one with Jesus. See how Satan scruples it up in the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, about one church being over, you know, all the churches congregating together. It wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, that we might all congregate together and all have a certain creed and so forth. Every time they do it, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God. And God is the Word. And each individual in his heart must be that one with God. Must be. Amen. It's not an option. It's a must be. And so let's talk about this oneness, but let's think about it in the perspective of faith. Because faith is revelation, right? Amen. And revelation comes from God. So this is in the message, Perfect Faith, paragraph 132. And when we were sinners, alienated without God, in the world, in the muck of mud, as I talked about this morning, God come to us. He come to us when we were in that shape. God sought you. You never sought God. And see what he's saying? This is God going to express himself. He sought you. You didn't go try to find him. No man can come to me except the Father draws him first. And God come down in that muck, what you were, and sought you out and brought you out. That ought to create a perfect love. So God coming to us, as nasty and as filthy as we're born into this world, and he still come to us. And when we recognize that he done that for us, and that he reached down into that muck, and you know how he did it? He put on the skin and the muck of a man that was in pain and suffering and everything. He put that on. God done that. Brother Bram said that was God in form, man form. He come down and he paid that price. And then that's how he come down in the muck. He become one of us to take us out. It ought to create a perfect love to see what he done for us, to see how he was mindful of us and looked at us. That ought to create a perfect love. Look what you was and look what you are. See that man that had been hunting? He realized all of a sudden that he couldn't hunt. So how was he getting stuff? And he contributed it to God. He didn't make up something about luck and all this other nonsense that people believe in. He realized that it was God blessing him. Look what you was and look what you are. What did that? Somebody that loved you. Can't you have faith in what he's promised you then? So if he did that part of the word and come down and took you and made you and brought you out of that muck, what about the rest of what he says that he'll do? Real genuine love between you and God will create a confidence in his word. And confidence is just another word for trust. It's just another word for faith. Amen. It will create a confidence in his word. So is there going to be any other way that faith will come? That confidence will come? I'm going to read the very words to you in just a minute. But I want to ask you, think about it. If he went to this effort to bring this relationship about for us, if he went to that effort, that he would become a man and let people spit on him and nail him to a cross and die like that, God, and then he would go to that effort, then we, and when we recognize that, what it ought to create.
He caught me when I was nothing. I'm still nothing, but I'm in his hand, see? He caught me. And he loved me when I was unlovable. He loved you when you was unlovable, but he changed you. Just like the color sister used to say that time in her testimony, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. Then I'm not what I used to be. See, she's recognizing who made her not what she used to be. She's impressed by what God is doing in her life. It's not just words on the page. God said he would do these things. God said he would be these things. And when she looks and recognizes God showing her that in her life, then it changes her. It changed her. Now, she knows she'd come somewhere. Something had happened. And that's the way it is. If God, when I was an alien from him, so loved me, he stooped down to get me and pick me up. That gives me confidence that he wants to use me. You see this relationship that God starts to build when he reaches down and picks you up. That's, and Brother Brown talked about whenever Peter knew who Jesus was. He said, how did he say he knew that? He said, my Father in heaven has revealed it to you. Who revealed that to that man, that his fishing and hunting was God giving him that?
Amen.
And who revealed this to this little lady? That God is the one took her from this to this.
Amen.
And that's what he builds his church upon. There's no other way.
That's right.
God's going to build his church like that. And that's it. And so he begins as he reaches down to show you and prove to you that you are a part of him. And so I can't think of anything that's better than that, to be a part of God. He's got a purpose in doing it. He's seen something in me. He's seen something in you. He had a reason to save you. Look at the people that's unsaved today. Look at the millions that could have took, he could have took beside you, but he took you. Look how many don't even know anything about this message whatsoever. But he took you. Amen. No one can take your place. You're in God's economy. You know, and I looked that word economy up, and it means the system of producing and consuming. Now you become part of God producing his word and people consuming it. You become, like he said, written epistles, read of all men. Written epistles, product, he's producing it, read of all men, they're consuming it. I thought, wow, Brother Branham, he might not have thought, people might not have thought he was real smart about his words, but he knew right when to use them. The Lord showed him. No one can do that. That's his love to you. And you got a spot in that. Then he put you there. Brother Bram said, every Christian has a ministry. Then, won't your love reach back to him? See? Now that he produced this to you, and he tells you who you are, now you reach back to him. Lord, what can I be? Make me whatever you want me to be. Lord, take everything of this world away from me. Let me reflect nothing but you, Lord. No matter what the situation is, its circumstances is governed by this love that creates faith.
Amen.
Did you hear what he just said? No matter what the circumstances are, it's all governed by this love right here.
This love.
That love between you and God.
Amen.
Everything is governed by that love between you and God. That's a powerful connection, brother and sister. I can't think of anything greater than that.
Amen.
And he's not talking about filial love.
No, sir.
He's not talking about pat you on the back when you're wrong love. He's talking about a love between God and his creation.
Amen.
So no matter what the situation is, its circumstances are governed by this love, and that love creates faith.
Amen.
Create, what is faith?
Revelation.
It's revelation, and it's, Brother Bram said, revelation, that God don't need an interpreter for it.
Amen.
That he'll bring it to pass. So from this love, God brings to pass everything that he needs to bring to pass in your life. That's why you can't be a Christian if you got, if brother, and Paul said, you might know all the mysteries, but if you don't have love, not filial love, this love, this is the one he was talking about, then you don't have nothing. Those are just words on the page.
Yes, sir.
And it's, the letter killeth, as it says, but the spirit maketh alive. Its circumstances are governed by this love that creates faith. That's God's love. God loves you, and you love God. He's being real clear what the love is, see? And you love one another, and that brings faith. Brings faith for what? Whatever. Whatever God wants to do, whatever God wants to interpret. Because we're going to read it here in just a few minutes, that God interprets his word through his people.
Yes, sir.
And he gives them faith what to do. Remember what he said about Paul? That woman followed Paul down the road for days. These are the men of the Most High God. These are the men of the Most High God. And he wanted to call her down.
Yes, sir.
And he said the Spirit forbade him to do it. And then one day it said, okay, tell her to stop. He called her, called the spirits out of her. Stopped it. That love, see, constrains you so that you do what your husband says.
Yes, sir.
And not what this thing says.
Amen.
I'm pointing at my flesh in case somebody's just listening. Okay, so then he says it, just plain out. Then it can't keep from bringing out just exactly what God promised it would do.
Amen.
Amen. So now watch. Perfect faith is pure. This is all from the message, Perfect Faith. Perfect faith is pure. Just as pure as love is, see? Now, when you love somebody, you love your husband or you love your wife. Now, there's no need of anybody telling you, you don't do it. Because you do it. And you know you do it. And if I ask you, how can you prove that you do it? You say, oh, I prove it by the way I live to him. See, I'm true, honest wife. I'm loyal, honest husband. That proves to me that I love my wife, that I love my husband. See, your life proves what you are. Your life, not you. The life that's in you proves who you are. Just like you're born into this world a sinner, and you keep doing things that is wrong, that's the life in you is proving what's in you.
Yes, sir.
And when this life comes into you, it'll prove it won't prove that anymore.
That's right.
It can't prove that anymore.
That's right.
The scripture says that you can't be deceived, right?
Amen.
Then how can you prove or make something manifest that's not what the word says?
Right.
It's the same thing. There's one thing producing this. And that's God. See, your life proves what you are. The same thing Christianity does, see? Your faith, you have confidence in one another. It's pure. You and God, you have confidence in one another. And it's something real that you can't show it to somebody else, but yet you got it. And your actions prove it. It proved that you got it.
Amen.
You don't have to do it. Your actions will just come out of you. But Abraham said, if you're trying to do this and you're trying to do that, if you're trying to be a Christian, he said, eventually it'll manifest itself as self-righteousness. And when you got pure, unadulterated faith, when you got that pure, unadulterated love affair, I think Brother Michael mentioned that a while ago, like your love is to your companion, then you prove it by the way you act. You ain't complaining no more. You know it's done. You walk along no matter what the things look like, what anybody else says, you know what's happened. You know that it's finished. It's finished, brother. So we don't have to worry about it no more.
Amen.
If we die tomorrow, so be it. We don't have to worry about it no more. And then tomorrow, if an obstacle comes up, we don't have to worry about it. You remember that time Brother Brandon was in church and Brother Way, I think it was, died in there? And everybody was hollering and he says, no, just calm down.
Amen.
Who was in control?
Amen.
Was it Brother Branham?
No, sir.
No.
But God was in Brother Branham. And he walked down there and he spoke the word and that was it.
Yep.
I want you to look real close at the two there. All the jumping up and down was not God.
Amen.
The other was God.
That's right.
Your faith, you have confidence in one another. It's pure and there's something real. Okay, I got that. Paragraph 138. And when you got pure, unadulterated faith, like you have love in your companion, then you prove it by the way you act. You ain't complaining no more. You know it's done. Just walk along. No matter what the thing looks like, what anybody else says, you know that what's happened. You know that it's finished. You don't need, like Abraham, you didn't need any signs. He had the word. That's all he needed. He knows it's, you know it's finished. Just as well as you know your love for your husband, as well as you know your love. See, love and faith has to go together. They have to. Can't have one without the other. You can't have faith without that relationship to make it. Your kinfolks, their kinfolks, they love. Love produces faith. And when Satan tempts us, when we are to resist him in perfect faith, how are we doing it? We're resisting him in perfect faith, which comes from what? That perfect relationship. When God takes that perfect relationship and you take his perfect word, then Satan cannot stand against that. So if Brother Branham's saying we need perfect faith, it's going to take perfect faith in this day, and then we got to have a perfect word, and he has to bring that perfect relationship, right?
Amen.
Got to have them both. We're to have perfect faith in this perfect word and resist Satan. Amen. And just to drive that home just a little bit more, this is from the token message. Brother Branham at the end, he's singing. He says, now just surrender your life to him. Love, love, love him. See, not with your humanness. You got to get rid of thinking this. You can worship God in this flesh. I remember Brother Holmes saying that so many times. You have to worship God in spirit.
Yes, sir.
Love, love, love him. See what he done for you. He pointed out again, see what he done for you. Love him for that. Recognize that he done it. Begins humming, I love you. It's by love. Love brings obedience. Love brings courtship. Love brings marriage.
Amen.
And that's where we're headed. The marriage supper of the Lamb. I hear my Savior calling. That's his love to me. Calling me to this wedding supper. Just all your heart now, just feel something real sweet coming into you. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. So,
amen.
I want to, let's drop down into the Church Ages book and pick up this one quote before we go back to 1965 here. I want to talk about this faith a little bit more. I'm going to talk about the faith a little bit more. In Acts 3:16, when Peter was asked how the mighty miracle had taken place upon the crippled one, and I've heard so many interpretations of this, and it's not even funny, of what took place there when Peter walked through the gate and the crippled man was there, and he wanted to be healed. And Peter turned around and said, such as I have, give I thee. So I've heard so many interpretations. Well, this is the interpretation.
Amen.
Taking place upon the crippled one at the gate, beautiful. He explained it on this wise. And his, Jesus' name, through faith in his, Jesus' name, hath made this man, who was formerly crippled, strong. Yea, the faith which is by from him, the faith is from him, Jesus, hath given him the man. So Jesus' faith has given this man this. Has perfect, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. See, there it is, Jesus' name, Jesus' faith, brought about the miracle. Now catch this. Peter did not claim it was his own human faith.
Amen.
Any more than he claimed it was his own name. He said that Jesus' name, used in faith, which is from Jesus, performed that great work. This faith is what the Lord was speaking about in Revelation 2:13. It was his faith. It's his faith. Now he's going to make it real clear now. It was not faith in him.
Correct.
It was his faith. But it was his own faith that he had given to the believers. I hope we're seeing, if you hadn't before, how much you're doing and how much God's doing.
Amen.
Because I want you to realize, if you haven't already, that God is expressing you. Brother Bram said he expressed Jesus. How many times have we read that?
Amen.
That he expressed Jesus. And how many times have we already come that he said that we will be one with God like Jesus was. That same oneness. All right, it's paragraph 4 in Spiritual Food in Due Season. And I want to get you built up now, he says. He's talking about the faith again. This oracles of God in the faith of this hour. So God's going to have, he has faith for every hour. We know he has a revelation for every hour. We know he has a word for every hour. So there's no surprise that there's a faith for this hour. The faith. It's going to take more faith. Now, I'm going to reread this in just a minute with Revelation. Then you think about it. It's going to take more faith than ever was in any age.
Amen.
More faith. For this has to be rapturing faith to be taken up. So let's read it again and let's put Revelation in there.
Amen.
The holy oracles of God in the revelation of this hour.
Yes, sir.
The revelation. Not a revelation, the revelation. It's going to take more revelation than ever was in any age.
Yes, sir.
So it sounds like we're going to have a message come.
Amen.
Because if there's going to take more than any has ever been.
That's right.
And so who's it going to have to come to?
Yes, sir.
It's got to come to the prophet.
Amen. Amen.
It's going to take more revelation than has ever in any age.
Yes.
For this has to be the rapturing revelation.
Yes, sir.
If there's going to be a revelation, it's got to come to the prophet. Amen. And be taken up. And so we want you to believe tonight in all. Now look, this sounds just like he's throwing some more words in there, but he's not. And so we want you to believe tonight in all that you have seen and heard, the word that you have heard preached, the signs and the wonders that you have seen done. We want you to accumulate all that together in your heart.
Amen.
And consider it, whether it be God or not.
Amen.
So I was thinking, you know, if that revelation is going to come to the prophet, and Brother Branham said he don't need an interpreter, and Brother Branham in the scripture says that the prophet is the word, we should be able to see this revelation that he's talking about. Brother Branham said your life proves it. We should be able to look at the prophet's life and see it.
Yes, sir.
The revelation that he's talking about, we should be able to look at his life and see it, right? Okay, so I just pulled out a few things here. You remember that time that the man was coming down to him on the pulpit and was He was yelling at the prophet that he was going to kill him.
Yes, sir.
And he marched up on it, and there was cops there, and the cops left. The guy was so big. Not sure why they were there, if that's what they were going to do. But he come running up on the stage, and you know what Brother Branham said? Brother Branham said, "I knew I was supposed to be there." Mm-hmm. That's all he needed to know. He said, "I was just depending purely upon faith upon him. He told me I'm supposed to be there." He said, "I wasn't trying to think of what I was going to say or what I was going to do."
Yes, sir.
As the man starts coming up, the man come running up, and then he said, it come out of his mouth. God give him words to say.
Amen.
And God give him words to do.
Right.
And the man just fell out at his feet. We all read about that. He said that in the message after choosing the bride, he said, "I don't remember being there the last half hour of that message." If he don't remember it, then who is doing it?
That's right.
If that ain't manifestation of what he said is supposed to be happening in this hour, if the revelation wasn't coming through the prophet, if it wasn't a living word, like Brother Branham said, Paul was the living word, then I don't know what we're waiting for. I mean, that, I don't know how it could be more clear. He made statements over and over and over of standing on the pulpit, looking at God come down and make himself as real as he has ever been.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
And when the seals broke, how many people's got their ideas about the seal? But Brother Branham said the seals have to be broke by the Lamb.
Amen.
The Lamb is the only one can break those seals. Brother and sister, you talk about a oneness. That was the oneness taking place in front of us, brother. It was a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. Amen. So we'll go on. There's so many of those. There's so many examples that you can pull on that. Maybe now that you read the message, you'll start seeing more of those. All right, this is in. We're going to spend a little time in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Amen. Brother Ram said this was a tape load, and I can vouch for that. As anybody who reads it and then goes back every so often and reads a little more, I'm telling you what, it just keeps unpacking, unfolding. Now noticing, in bringing that back, letting that man do that and knowing what he would do it, and he's talking about Adam, knowed he would do what he done after you put him in the garden and the fall come. But what did it do? It displayed his attribute as Savior. And the whole purpose then is left in Jesus Christ. God himself to take the penalty of his own law. And now there's been books and centuries. And Brother Ram said, people argue till they get gray talking about the Godhead. But if that don't show you what the Godhead is right there, there's so many places, there's more too. God himself taking the penalty of his own law and death to die to redeem the wife that was lost by rejecting him. When Eve went away from the word, she went away from her mate. Now, why did he let this happen? So he could show his love to us by becoming our Savior. And by that love is how he produces. Brother Branham said this is how he produces Christians. And when the church goes away from that word to a denomination, she rejects and commits fornications with the world of man's wisdom, rejecting the authority of God's word. That sound clear? The Bible said, committing spiritual fornications. Any word in the Bible that's rejected, if any self-interpretation be put to it, you know what that means? Everybody, y'all should know what that means.
Amen.
It's absolutely rejecting and committing adultery.
Amen.
If we try to make one of those words come to pass, then it's committing adultery.
Yes, sir.
That's what it says. Where's the life come from? The husband. He's the one bringing life. He brings life through his bride. She don't bring life. He brings life through her. It's absolutely rejecting and committing adultery against God that is your husband. And adulterous never enters the kingdom of heaven. You know that. Now see, that's what Eve done at the first place. Now notice again, now what's his threefold purpose? Manifest himself in Jesus Christ. To come, and we were in Jesus Christ, right?
Yes, sir.
Manifest himself in Jesus Christ to come into the body by Jesus Christ to have the preeminences. And everybody knows what preeminence is, right? It means you don't give anything else a second thought.
Amen.
He has all your thoughts. He has everything. To have the preeminences to restore back Eden. Bring back that which was lost. That was the only thing out of order. All the rest of the things, all the rest of his things was in order. But he had to let or put man on free moral agency to fall so that he might be a savior. So he could show his love to display what's in him. He's the attribute of a savior. Now we were in him too, right? And so he had to let that happen so he could show us. Something had to be lost. And that very thing, that man fell and became lost, he become the savior of that, taking his own law. And he could not do it as Jehovah that covered all space, time, see. He couldn't do it. He had to become a man. He had to pay the price. He had to become a man. And he took kinship with the man that was lost. Amen. Become a man, God made flesh. That's the only way God could die, is if he become a man. So many people, it's the same message here, we're just going a little further back up. Many people take a confession and say, it's got to this place now. Are you a Christian? I'm a Methodist. Well, that's a long ways from being, make yourself known as a Christian. A Methodist don't make you known as a Christian.
Amen.
Well, look what the Methodist does. I'm Baptist. Well, look what the Baptist does. See, he's pointing at their life. And the only one that can produce the life. And so he's pointing at them and saying, look, that's not the life. I'm Catholic. Look what they do, see? But the only way you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you.
Yes, sir.
That's him interpreting his word in you. That's the only way you can be a Christian. Is there any other way? There's no other way. And this comes from that love affair.
Yes, man. Sir.
How we got some, a stinger there, what he just said. I hope everybody on the tape gets that. Did we get it? He said he hoped everybody got it. Say, I'm a Pentecostal. That don't mean a thing.
Amen.
All right, so in the same message, how could he be a son? Only through Christ. How could he be a healer? Only through Christ. See, all things are wound up in that one person, Jesus Christ. When I think of that, I just see denominations pass off the scene and everything else just going. See, when I see God's great purpose revealing himself, when he sees God's great purpose revealing himself in his children, then he sees denominations pass off the scene. Because what are denominations? They're men trying to be Christians. Women trying to be Christians.
Right.
And it produces a denomination. I mean, there's more than 900. There's several billion.
Amen.
When I see God's purpose revealing himself, and having first to reveal himself in Christ, listen to what he said. When I see God's great purpose revealing himself, and having first to reveal himself in Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, And then to bring that fullness of the Godhead bodily into the people. Mm-hmm. Sounds like an absolute perfect love affair producing perfect faith to me. And he could have the preeminences, the oversight, the leading. Brother Brown said it was going to take a perfect word and a perfect faith in that word. And if God can get him prisoners like that, I think he was talking about Paul in this case, that's when he can express the preeminences. If he can get himself prisoners, that's when he can express himself. No other time can he express himself. If you're not a prisoner to God, you're not expressing anything but you.
That's right.
And let me tell you, there's nobody that's 99% a Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not.
Amen.
You're either a Christian who thinks they believe this, believe this, believe this, and believe this, and don't believe anything. Or you believe it all. Period. Because who's doing it? God is doing it. When he can get prisoners, and that's when he can express the preeminence, as you see. He's got man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. Nothing but Christ. Do we believe what he said when he says nothing but Christ?
Yes.
And that's what I just said. You can't be 99% Christian. There's no such a thing. You get what I mean? Congregation? All right. That's secondly. First, he expressed himself completely. God in Christ. Second, how the preeminences by this in his church, which is his body, the bride. Till, had the preeminences, till he could have the preeminences to express himself through them. That's where he was headed all this time. He was going to express himself through Christ completely so that he could come into them and be expressed completely in them. Isn't that exactly the one that he just said? We're one with God like they were, that Jesus was Amen. One with God.
Yes, sir.
Can't make the scripture lie, Brother Graham said. All right. And thirdly, restore the kingdom to its rightful position. That fell by sin, by the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening. So when he can have that preeminence with them and express himself through it, then he can get back to this fellowshipping with them. Brother Graham said another place, lip to ear, he could speak to them. Anytime he wanted to. He walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowship with them. And now sin and death had separated them. Now listen to what he says, because don't miss this little piece here. So he's had these people that he's walking with in fellowship, true fellowship. He can talk to them. He can spend time with them. It's true fellowship. But then sin and death separated them from what? They separated, that sin and death separated them from his presence and from his entire expression. Now he can't express himself entirely in them now.
Amen. That's true.
He's separated from them. And what is it he's trying to express anyways? Didn't Brother Branham say that if you're an eternal thought, that he always had that thought about you? So before Adam and Eve could come to that, death and sin separated them. So that he separated from his entire expression. Now he couldn't express everything he wanted to in them. And it was on purpose. It wasn't an accident. God knew exactly what was going on. But in order to express what he wanted to in him, he already had it set that he was going to do it in Christ. Christ was going to come and pay the price. Christ was going to be the one he had preeminence in, that he could express himself fully in and pay that price so that they could have that. And then he could restore that fellowship. That was what he planned the whole time.
Amen.
And then he could express what he had in his mind all the time. And I lost my spot. Y'all forgive me. Okay. In fellowship with them. And now sin and death separated them from his presence and his entire expression. Do you read it? before the foundation of the world to express all his attributes, what he was. So he's telling you when he says his entire expression. Do you read it? Before the foundation of the world to express all his attributes. That was his full expression. His entire expression that they were separated from. And God, when he's got it in his mind, he's going to do something. He's going to do it. Doesn't matter what. Therefore, if any Trinitarian here should just let yourself go loose a minute and see that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not three gods. It's three attributes of the same God. It's expression. Father, he was wanted to be a father. He was a father. He was a son. And he is the Holy Ghost. And the Father and the Holy Ghost is the same Spirit. It all comes from God.
Amen.
It's God expressing. Don't you see? You get it? Not three gods. The devil has told you them things to make an idolater out of you. He's told you them things to keep you away from that full expression of God. And everything else under the sun, he's tried to twist the message with. See, it's one God expressed in three attributes. To be Father, to be Savior, to be Son, to be Healer, see, is his expressions. God expressed in Jesus Christ, who was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ was all three. The fullness of the Godhead expressed bodily. Now the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church. He's not leaving any T uncrossed and any I undotted.
Yes, sir.
He's covering it.
Amen.
And he's not covering it from just one angle. I mean, this is the sixth service that I've had on this, and there's probably several more. He doesn't miss. He's doing it from this angle, and then he turns around and does it from that angle, and then he turns around and does it from this angle.
Amen.
God just poured himself out of that man for us to realize what was going on.
Amen.
Brother Brown said there is one messenger to an age, and then the faithful followers who take that message. There's not another message for that age.
Amen.
There's that message. And we take that message. That's it.
That's right.
All right. Let's go to What House Will You Build Me? This is 1965, paragraph 29. And I know that each one of you, if you feel like I do, I'm so hungry to see the Spirit of God moving. I just can't hardly stand it. Some experiences I just had up in the mountain, just to feel that once again. That something that when I was first saved and was so glorious to my heart. So he's having this again up in the mountain. This revelation is coming to him because he said he's back out there on the back of the desert getting that message. And that it was coming so fast he couldn't hardly get it said. And we can come into a place, after he's done that, he comes into this place, and we can sit and see it among us that we are drying. And as we sit here in the desert, I get among my brethren, and they talk with me, and I talk with them always, in a little way of watching, feeling out there with the Spirit as it was, to see just the condition of what that brother, to see what's wrong. I begin to feel us all reclining, getting away from the Spirit, getting away from that relationship. It's become too natural to us. Our church is too natural. It's not a spiritual thing anymore.
Amen.
We must worship in spirit, where the Spirit of God is. Not only our message should be the flame of the hour. It is the flame of the hour. It should be the flame in our hearts. That message should be the flame that's in our hearts.
Amen.
See, it's got to be in our hearts, or we can't, listen to this, if it's not in our heart, this is what I meant, you can't be a 99% Christian. There's no such a thing. It's got to be in our hearts. And if it's in your heart, it's all the way in your heart. It's not part of the way in there. It rules your life. Amen. See, it's got to be in our hearts, or we can't rightly present it to the people.
That's it.
The Spirit has to pack the message. Who is packing the message?
The Spirit.
The Spirit has to pack the message itself. I'm trusting and believing in every one of you to be a real Christian.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So I think I got one more quote here that I want. This is from Choosing God's Chosen Place of Worship. And Brother Keenan had mentioned a few weeks back about listening to all those, and it would be good. Those are incredible messages. God had a certain place he met Abraham, and there Abraham worshiped. That was the only place Abraham could worship. All down through the Testament, and his promised word would be interpreted, and his promised word would be interpreted in you by him.
Yes, sir.
So how much are you doing? None. We're not doing anything. Did you get that? The word that he promised to be filled in the day that you're living in, you will be written epistle of God, read of all men. He's going to write you, and the men are going to read you. That's why he says your life is going to prove it. Because it's not your life anymore. Not if you're a Christian.
Amen.
Not what you claim. Not what we claim to have. But what God does through you will speak out louder than anything you could claim. God said these signs shall follow them that believe. That speaks through you. Amen. If you're living this, if it's living in you, these things will speak through you. He spoke of his age. Oh, I'm sorry. He spoke of this age and what would be now. Jesus did. The believers of this age has to believe this that's taking place. What he promised today. Just the same as they had to come into the ark and be saved, go out of Egypt to be saved, they had to come into Christ to be saved now, into the word message.
Amen.
That's that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
What do you, how do you get into it? By baptism, baptism of water? By the Holy Ghost. Go back and listen to that tape how he says it. One Spirit. We're all baptized into this one body. And his promised word, he will not. You won't have to interpret it.
Amen.
All these things he's telling us. Brother Branham said he wants you to gather it into your heart and see if it's not God or not. You won't have to interpret it. He will interpret it through you. What you're doing, what he promised to do. So the word that he promised for this hour, he will interpret it through you. Amen. The church that follows him will be so much like him until people will know it.
Yes, sir.
There won't be a bunch of arguing mess going on all the time.
Amen.
Or some kind of confusion or some kind of something all the time.
Amen.
It'll be God doing it. And as long as we, brother and sister, keep trying to do it, and I'm including me in it, all of us, anybody that says they're in the message today, as long as we keep trying to make that message come to pass, and we don't get down into that relationship with God and let him do it, then we're going to be left out.
Amen.
We're going to be just the same as any other denomination without that in our heart.
Amen.
And I hope that you take these words to heart because they're not Chris's.
Amen.
These are the prophets. And if we believe he was the mouthpiece of God, then it should sufficiently impress us.
Amen.
So.